What are the big politics stories in Wisconsin likely to be in 2026? We'll break it down for you. It's Friday, January 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, our politics team takes a look at what's in store for the year ahead, and Milwaukee singer-songwriter Trapper Shep reflects on a deeply personal new album. Stay with us.
Morning Edition from NPR News asks the crucial questions of our time.
Who can make the best cookie, humans or AI?
Unpack the answers with us every weekday.
It's going to be one election after another this year in Wisconsin. Voters will elect a new state Supreme Court justice, not to mention a new governor. They could also have a hand in which party controls Congress and the state legislature. WPR's Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for this look ahead at 2026.
Let's start at the beginning here. We have our first big election in April for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Anya, who's running for that seat and what are the stakes?
Yeah, it is my new favorite Wisconsin spring tradition, the annual gigantic Supreme Court race. As always, we have one liberal candidate and one conservative candidate. And this time around, the liberal is Dane County Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, and the conservative is Waukesha County Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar. This is an interesting race because outgoing Justice Rebecca Bradley, a conservative, chose not to run for re-election. And so this is an open race for an open seat. And it may not become quite as expensive or intense as the last two court races here because this is not a fight for control of the court. Liberals will have that control no matter who wins. But a liberal win would really cement that for even longer, while a conservative win would keep things competitive for the following spring's annual gigantic court election cycle.
So that election is in April. Then Wisconsin voters get a nice long break until August. That's when we have partisan primaries for governor, among other offices. Rich, who's running for Republicans?
Right now, the GOP field is down to two candidates. The presumed frontrunner is Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany of Minocqua. He's up against Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. We do have a wild card, though. Republican Tim Michaels, who lost to Evers in the 2022 race for governor, has reportedly talked to President Trump about entering the race. If he gets Trump's endorsement, that would really shake up the GOP primary.
And Anya, as of right now, the list of candidates for governor is much longer on the Democratic side.
I kind of feel like we need like a 12 Days of Christmas kind of song to remember all of them. We have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Madison State Senator Calder Royce, Madison State Representative Francesca Hong, former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation CEO Missy Hughes, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and former Evers Cabinet official Joel Brennan.
So the winners of those primaries advance to November, where we also have races for Attorney General and other constitutional offices. No U.S. Senate race on the ballot this time, but all eight U.S. House races will be. And Rich, we're really focused on a couple of them.
That's right. We, along with the National Republican and Democratic parties. So earlier this year, Democrats listed Republican Brian Stile of Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District and Derek Van Orden of the 3rd Congressional District as their top targets. But if you look at fundraising numbers, it's pretty apparent that Van Orden is the real target. He's up against Eau Claire Democrat Rebecca Cook, who narrowly lost to him last year. She's worked as a Democratic fundraiser and is very good at bringing in cash. National Republican groups are also pouring a lot of money into Van Orden's campaign.
And for the first time in a very long time, both houses of our state legislature are potentially up for grabs. Rich, remind us of what the partisan breakdown there looks like right now, and what would it take for Democrats to flip one or both chambers?
So the easiest flip for Democrats would have to be the state Senate. Currently, Republicans hold 18 seats, and Democrats hold 15 seats in that chamber. It's a taller order in the Assembly, but Democrats are bullish that they can pick up enough seats to have a majority in that chamber as well. Right now, Republicans have 54 seats to Democrats 45.
Okay, so that's a lot of elections. The legislature will still be in session, though, for a couple months to start the year. Anya, do we expect anything big from them?
There are theoretically a few big issues to take up. Regulation of THC, online gaming. Republicans have said that they want to look at SNAP, that's federal food assistance, and kind of how that gets administered here. And leadership overall has said that they are planning to meet during remaining calendared floor days. And so there are a few opportunities in January and February. Technically, there are some other chances during the rest of the spring. But as to whether anything big is going to happen, we still have divided government and it is a huge election year. And so I wouldn't expect any kind of beautiful bipartisan compromises at a time that both sides are really trying to rack up some wins that they can run on.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, a Milwaukee musician reflects on his journey to sobriety. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, this season can be hard for people who struggle with substance use and addiction. For Milwaukee singer-songwriter Trapper Shep, he used music to chronicle and process his years-long dependence on prescription painkillers, as well as his journey to sobriety. Shep recently talked with Wisconsin Today host Kate Archer Kent about his newest album titled Osborne, on which he took a turn for the personal.
This album is different than anything you've ever done before. Such a very personal record. And I'm wondering, how did your experiences with the opioid epidemic turn into an album?
Well, when I was 20 years old, I had spinal decompression surgery. Not something every 20-year-old has, but I grew up BMX bike riding a lot. And as it would turn out, that's not awesome for a developing back. So I ended up having spinal surgery. And, you know, when I walked away from that experience, I think doctors were treating me in the way that they knew how to treat me best at that time. And I think that is remove pain. Humans are, especially Americans, very adverse to pain. And I was prescribed a couple different painkillers, and just throughout my 20s, I think I leaned on those too much. I mean, it's not like you'd maybe see in a movie or anything, but when you're trying to basically treat what is referred to in the medical community as chronic back pain, they're doing what they can. And I think in a lot of cases, an ice pack and physical therapy might have sufficed. But, you know, you're young and you're trying to make yourself feel better. And I think that's what a lot of people were doing on the early days of the opioid epidemic, is just trying to fix the problem, whatever the problem was. And things obviously really spiraled in American culture. And as someone who made it through and has, you know, seen the pain of that firsthand, I thought it was a duty of mine to come clean and write about that experience, because it's important to me.
When you entered the inpatient recovery unit, the Betty Ford Treatment Center, you write essentially this title track of this album, The Osbournes.
Hello, Kelly. Goodbye, Jack. Hello, Betty. I'm back to black. We've got Suboxone and security. And the Osbournes is you and me.
But it's one letter off, you know, from the unit you were in, admitted to the name of Ozzy Osbourne. How does this rehab unit Does it have a heavy metal vibe to it that channels the late rock legend, heavy metal legend?
Well, it's a bit coincidental because on the way there, Kate, I had texted a friend and I was just curious who else had been to that facility before. And the first person that popped up was Ozzy Osbourne. And I was like, oh, if Ozzy could do it, I can do it.
Hmm.
But when I got there, joke's on me, rock and roller kind of guy, I got placed in the Osbourne unit. And there were copies of the Osbournes DVDs out in like the main men's group room.
Yeah.
And there were guitars out and heavy metal themed artwork on the walls. And there was just a really strong brotherhood in that unit. And I wrote the song, The Osbournes, kind of inspired by that brotherhood that I mentioned, that I think, you know, people who have shared trauma and shared experience, they come together and they feel this connection that, you know, almost feels like a family. So, yeah, I wrote that song, and the title is a nod to that as well.
That was Milwaukee singer-songwriter Trapper Shep talking with WPR's Kate Archer Kent about his new album, Osbourne. You can find the full interview at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.